right, welcome back to Sheep Farm. This is another podcast. With me as usual is our Chris.
Good evening.
Which piss are you drinking tonight?
I've got a bottle of Governor, but I'm not opening it yet because I don't know how long we're going to be on for.
You're just worried, aren't you? Yeah. That you're going to ruin it for our guest. That yeah, happens to be in hibernation, or has been for the last few months, in the Caribbean, that he's been rubbing it in, drinking pina coladas. We've got Dave Murphy with us, allegedly.
Hello.
Good evening, Dave. Nice to see you again, mate.
Yeah, it's fabulous to be back.
Yeah, well, you're not quite back, are you? You're just on. We're just on a recording. You're still, what is it, 8 hours away?
Yeah, virtually back.
Virtually back, yeah. I mean, the islands of the Caribbean. I mean, you've been to whereabouts in Caribbean have you been, Chris?
Jamaica.
Jamaica.
Yeah. My missus's best mate got married in Jamaica. Well, she's a Jamaican. Then I went to La Grille and to Montego Bay.
Yeah, I've been to Tobago, St. Kitts, and Barbados a few times. That's my stepping out there.
Absolutely loved it.
Our crew aren't from Caribbean, though. They're from Chicago. So a lot of our... Yeah, yeah. Our mum were black. She were from... Her crew were from Chicago.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. Our granddad was in the American Air Force. He was one of the black GIs in the American... Well, I suppose an Air Force. It's not GI, is it, in the Air Force? But he was in the American Air Force, stationed in the UK. And he must have met our grandma at some dance in Huddersfield and got funky and had to leg it back to America.
Yeah, I bet he had some stories, actually.
Oh, yeah. We never met up. Ironically, our mother passed away a month after he passed away. And they hadn't met, but they'd met sort of, I suppose, on the phone, as it were, back in the late 90s.
She became good friends with his wife, actually.
Yeah, she did, yeah.
Used to trade recipes and stuff. Quite a lot.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, we're really nice, actually. But you can imagine, going back to them days, I mean, people claim sort of racism nowadays, and I'm sure it goes on. Well, it does go on, but our mum were born in Huddersfield, a backwater town, with nobody there of any race, yeah? Apart from white people with Yorkshire accents, yeah?
Right.
And she was the only, her and another guy, because there must have been another GI, American GI, at the school. So there were two of them. There were a guy and my mum. And you imagine what they went through at that particular point in time.
I don't think I have to actually imagine because when I grew up, I was the only black kid in school. We were the only black family for about 15 miles. So I don't have to imagine.
Yeah. You know. I mean, we grew up in a little village in like a farming village in Huddersfield. Me and Chris. Yeah. So we were, even though we're at bloody Heinz 50 varieties, we were a bit of a novelty up there.
Interestingly, though, my mum said, because I asked her, she said she didn't get that much abuse or, you know, racism. But when the Windrush happened, she got more because obviously that old stereotype coming over here, taking our jobs, etc. So she said she was more of a novelty before that happened. When that happened, she got roped in with the immigration.
She was one of the Windrush people.
Interesting, isn't it? You never wouldn't have thought about that.
Yeah, and as a child, she said that she disliked the Windrush generation coming over. Because she got on with everybody. And you understand, she was a black girl brought up in a white family.
Right. Yeah. There was an aspect to that for me that... a bit of a novelty. Again, as I got older, novelty went, and it was,
this
was, for me, it was the 80s when,
anything went
anyway, you know. And then 1976, I think it was, when Roots came out.
Oh, yeah. Everyone used to cry to that. Everyone used to cry to that.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know about tears, but I watched that show and I went to school the next day angry.
Yeah, like, I bet you did. Yeah. That's probably why it was put out there, isn't it? In a sense, because it was a watered down version as well. It wasn't even that. It was probably 10 times worse than that.
It was more than watered down. I mean, it was written by a white guy called Harold Courtlander. It wasn't even Alex Haley, and that whole story about his family. No, it was from a book called The African by Harold Courtlander. and Hayley had to settle, you know, a copyright suit over it. I think it had so much historical inaccuracy, but since it hadn't been done before, then everyone took it as accurate. Yeah.
Have you seen that guy? I forget what podcast he were on. It might have even been Joe Rogan, but it was somebody sent it me. The guy with dreads who had done all the figures and the numbers of how many actual Africans came over from the old countries to the Caribbean and the Americas, because some of them went to South America as well, didn't they? Weren't just like North America and the Caribbean. But and he added it up, and it were nowhere near the numbers that has been said that came over. A bit similar to what happened in Germany during World War II.
Well, he's counting would have been off, because what he probably didn't account for is that, you know, I'll say this country, assuming I'm back in England, this country was mostly black at one point. And, just before slavery started, right, the Irish were black, the Scots were black, the Welsh were black, the Britons were black. It was just the Anglos, Anglo-Saxons, who were the white ones. So England, or Britain, it was as it was called, were mixed tribes of white, black, and brown people. And I've got books from the early 1900s that just lay it all out.
All this shouldn't surprise us, should it? Shouldn't surprise us at all. I tell you some of the stories. There was a white guy who wrote a book. Again, another white guy writing a book, but he wrote it like the history of slavery. I forget the guy's name now. It was a good book, actually. Mainstream, don't get me wrong, but it was a good book because sometimes mainstream books are good because they're quite naive. They don't realise what they're writing. They leave you little clues in there. And some of the good things in there were that he wrote about the slave ships were sometimes taken over by the Africans, and all the sort of like captain and everything were just thrown overboard. And these went on to be pirates. And I found that really romantic. I always hoped that if I'd have been one of them guys, I'd have been one of them people that took over a slave ship and threw all these people overboard. I probably wouldn't have been. I'd probably got whooped and shit myself. But anyway.
No. The story we got about that whole thing is completely wrong. I keep annoying Irishmen a lot, because I keep telling him, no, the original Irish are black people, and the real Irish are in the Caribbean, and you know, you guys
on the island.
You guys are German descendants.
Funnily enough, right? I'm playing a video game at the minute, and I grew up, Chris, 50, playing a video game. Assassin's Creed games, and it's in England, weirdly, and it's in Cambridge, the Viking one. And you really, because I mean, the research that must have gone into that. And so the Vikings are coming over like they do and raiding everywhere. But then there's all Roman architecture, like ancient Roman architecture. So then the Romans have been there, the Vikings have been there, the Germans have been there. Like you say, so what the hell did we look like? That's one question I was asking when I was looking at this game. Because everyone was an invader, every single person. And
yeah,
I don't know if you, I'm sure you've looked into your theory more than I have, Dev, but. I
researched a bit of English history or British history, and I found that the one that founded this country was a guy called Brutus or Brito. He was a Trojan prince escaping the fall of Troy.
Yes, I've heard that one. Yeah, the Trojans. There's even a theory that the Trojans was in Cambridge, where I am. That's one theory.
Well, they actually, they were all over England, or what we call England now. They founded London, right? They called it Troyanova.
Right.
No, not Londonian. Before that,
not
was
London,
Roman name.
Right.
Troyanova, it was called, right? New Troy.
They came from Troy to England. I never heard that one. Sorry.
Yeah, they landed in Totnes in 1103 BC. And they found that this country was overrun by red-headed giants. And
Mog Mahog.
Gog Magog, yeah.
Gogmagog, that's near me. The Gogmagog hill's near me in Cambridge.
Yeah, all right. Okay.
Yeah. And interestingly, I was reading a book about giants by Hugh Newman, I think his name is. And I was reading in the intro, he said he got interested in giants because he was from Cambridge. And in a pub car park, they had an artifact from a giant. I can't remember what he said it was. And it's a Robin Hood pub, not far from Cherry Hinton. And he said he got interested in giants from the Gogmagog story. And apparently they're buried in the mountain there.
The story goes with Brutus is that they killed all the giants except one, and that was Gogmagog.
Yeah.
And they nursed him back to health because one of Brutus's men, a guy called Corineus, wanted to fight him hand to hand. So they had an epic battle on Plymouth Hoe, right? This giant got Corineus in a bear hug and broke a couple of his ribs. And he was Corineus was so incensed that he managed to grab this giant up and throw him over the cliff. And he died on the rocks. And they call that place Lamgomago, which means giant's leap.
Was Brutus supposed to be a giant then?
No. Brutus was an ordinary guy. Corineus was given Cornwall. So Cornwall was kind of named after him. That's apparently where we got the word Britannia from. And that's a Paleo-Hebrew word, actually, because Brutus was a Trojan who was also a Hebrew Israelite. So Britain or Britannia means land of the covenant, right? The covenant between Abraham and the Most High. So British means covenant man, you know. Irish means Hebrew man.
There's actually an island in the Caribbean, isn't it, where there's a lot of Irish there, isn't there? That basically speak patois.
Virtually all the islands in the Caribbean that were British colonies are full of Irish and Scottish. Right. If you say you've been to Barbados, listen to the Bajan accent. Yeah, it's pure Irish.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, the word three is tree, isn't it? And the Irish say it, and the Caribbean say it, and most people in the Caribbean say tree.
My dad was from Barbados. He used to say things like tal, you know.
Yeah. I don't want to skip over the Giants bit because it's something we want to talk about, actually.
You start thinking that we've been lied to about everything, don't you, sometimes?
We have been.
Yeah, I'm joking.
Yeah, me thinking you're naive.
Just quickly before we carry on, I saw an interview you did, Dev, with a guy, and it was a while back. I don't know how you continued.
I know the one you mean, T. Jump.
I saw it as well.
Where did you find him? How did you find each other, you two?
You've got some patience, mate.
You are right. Yeah, turn it off, Dev. It was making me angry.
He does these like debunking videos where he talks to people and makes fun of them, essentially.
Yeah.
And he tried to talk to me about Flat Earth once. And so he contacted me again. And now that I knew what he was like, I just wanted to show him up, essentially. Yeah. So I let him do what he wanted to do and just highlighted the things. Like, you could see when I said something to him, his eyes would glaze over because he'd be looking at Google.
You actually said that. That was the one funny bit. You said, you said that in the middle of it. Are you actually Googling that?
No, I'm not.
So you're coming up with alternative versions of history and he's Googling them to get the right answer.
Yeah. And it's funny because there's one bit where, because I mentioned about sudden adult death syndrome. And he said, that's not a thing. That's lying. You're making that up. And I said, actually, no, I'm not. And then his eyes glazed over. Right? He Googled it. And then he was like, all of a sudden, he was like, yeah, it's adult death syndrome. And that's always been. And now he's an expert in it. You know? A moment ago, he didn't know about it. And now he's an expert.
Just wait until they get those Neuralinks implanted in his head. He'll just blink his eyes and he'll have all the information.
Yeah. Like a Rolodex.
Yeah,
that was very funny.
And that is coming, I'm sure it is.
Like Dom said, you had more patience than I'd have had because I had to switch away because it was frustrating me. But I did hear your interview the other week with David Weiss. That was good.
David Weiss? I don't remember that one.
Is it David Weiss? Have I got his name wrong? No, I've got his name wrong.
Oh, you mean Brian Stavely?
Brian Stavely. I always get them too confused, sorry.
Yeah.
That was really good. Yeah. I enjoyed that. Found out you're a Star Wars fan.
It was good because I think I mentioned it in there that I've put together this talk about our hidden abilities and how to get back to them, Mandela effect kind of played into it a little bit. So I was able to start talking about this, which is what's getting me really excited at the moment about who we really are and what we can actually do.
I mean, the Mandela effect, I don't think we've really talked about it on our thing, have we? No. But
no, it's not because we're interested.
No, I'm blooming interested. I mean, when it started, I remember it starting, and you're like, oh, because a lot of it was American, so you kind of weren't that sure. But like yourself, when the C-3PO's leg came up, I'll never forget it. I was in this living room, and I saw this thing saying his leg was silver. And I was like, no. And I ran out and I got my old box set of Star Wars DVDs, and I chipped it on. And I'm like, no, this can't be right. And he's got a silver bloody leg. And the thing is with that one, Dave and Dom, is because Star Wars geeks are such geeks, and I'm one of them, I was growing up, if he did have a silver leg, right, we would have discussed in theories about why he had a silver leg, how he got it. There'd have been fan theories coming out of it. There'd have been everywhere, wouldn't there?
You sad bastard.
It is sad, it's sad, but it's true.
How you get information, isn't it? Being a sad bastard, it is.
Yeah, that's what I've always said. Us bloody geeks who, have always been obsessive with this stuff. Now we're bloody conspiracy geek obsessive, aren't we?
I watch it about 7 times, right, in the cinema, and I actually made a C-3PO fancy dress costume. So yeah. I spent hours looking at the pictures and stuff and trying to get it exactly right.
He just I want to see pictures of that.
I saw it when I was 4.
Pictures of your CP3O fancy dress costume.
I saw it when I was a kid, and then I saw the re-releases, the re-edits, the new versions. I saw a lot of them, all the prequels, the whole lot, and he never had a silver. Yeah. And it even looks odd, doesn't it, when you see it on the video?
It does.
It
does.
See, so, I'm not a Star Wars buff like you guys. But even I know didn't have a silver leg.
It would have been a conversation piece.
Yeah.
And it was that, and it was Jaws' teeth, which got Dom as well.
Yeah, Jaws'
teeth
the other
got
one,
me.
That,
yeah.
The
the lady.
Yeah. C-3PO got me into it. But then Dolly, that was and the braces. Yeah. That was, I actually remember going to the cinema to watch Moonraker. Yeah. And that one scene got the biggest laugh in the whole theatre. Everybody was laughing at that one, right?
Because he'd been brutalising James Bond for 2 films or 3 films or whatever. And then he became a nice guy instantly by that girl smiling at him. That was the whole plot. And I think I only saw that film once at home, not at the cinema. And I remember it like yesterday.
Yeah, I do.
But here's the thing. He was just a henchman. He was just a bad guy henchman, yeah? Mm. Now, when does a henchman get a backstory? They don't. They put that scene in because it was a big laugh, right? And if they didn't put that scene, why didn't they put that scene in as a big laugh? Because it's an obvious, incredibly funny joke.
And it was the residue from it where they made that credit card advert where Jaws walks up to the credit card counter and the woman smiles at him and they recreate the dolly bit. And she smiles at him. She's got braces and he smiles back. So why would they have done that if it didn't happen?
Yeah.
And that advert's still findable.
Well, again, I say that that we have the ability to make changes to the time stream. And we do it all the time. Because the what we call the time stream isn't this stream of past event, present, going off into the future. It's not that. It's essentially a calculation, an algorithm, a living, math problem being held in somebody, the mind of the Most High. Yeah. Mm. So the past, present, and future are it's just information all held in, at once. So we can ask for something and that algorithm gets changed so that in the present we get what it is we want.
It's like the phrase, be careful what you wish for, in essence.
Yeah. We're pulling in all the time. Everything that we are concentrating on, we're sort of passionate about, that thing is going to find its way into our reality.
Which is why we're surrounded by dystopian and violent films, because the psychos that run the show want us to bring it into reality. I think that's why we've had 20 years of dystopian futures films.
They want violence. They want us killing each other. They want us angry at each other. They want us hating each other. You know, so yes, all the films that we see are all about conflict, you know, explosions, dying, you know,
revenge, killing,
revenge, hatred, you know, it's all that.
Even in like romantic comedies now, I think. I don't know. I think there's a change in the, after 2000, probably, when comedies got a bit nastier as well, even like comedies that are supposed to be funny and cute and whatever. They got kind of a dark undercurrent, didn't they? And we laugh at them because they are funny scenarios, but they just got a bit nastier, didn't they? I think.
Well, if you look at, like, say, Only Fools and Horses on TV, that was just funny. There was no dark undertone to it. There was nothing there that...
No nastiness.
No nastiness or anything like that. It was the 80s. And
even then as well, Fatty, it had a little light hints at racism, but it wasn't nasty or offensive. It was just... You know, I wouldn't say it offended
anyone. You wouldn't have an Only Fools and Horses today. You wouldn't have that type of comedy today because it's we've been on this like sliding kind of what do you call it? Slippery slope
down
to this depraved thing. So they have to, when they introduce stuff, they have to make it appealing and good, right? So that we buy into it, and then they do that. What do they call it? Bait and switch.
The old switcheroo,
yeah.
I hear they've pulled down the, you know, the Fawlty Towers house, the place where it was. It weren't actually on in Newquay, Peckham. Wherever it was set. Buckinghamshire. We're talking to a guy. From Buckinghamshire. They've ripped it down.
Right.
In America, that would have been some kind of tourist attraction, but they've ripped it down.
It was supposed to be in Peckham, though, wasn't it?
No. You're about Only Fools and Horses. One about Fawlty Towers
or something.
Fawlty Towers.
I thought we were on about.
I know, I've just said. Fawlty Towers, they've ripped it down.
You're right, though. Normally they
haven't even had a drink yet, Chris.
Because normally they preserve it. I mean, they preserve the village from the prisoner. You can still go and see it. Yeah, even though that was shows like 50 years ago, you know.
near Wales. Yeah, I nearly went there, actually. But it was a bit too far away.
It's probably an underground base or something there.
So as I said, you don't get the innocent, the good films anymore because the social engineering is now prominent. It's mostly social engineering, and I think we were talking off camera before that you know, most of the social engineering today is about demasculinizing men, and you know, feminizing them and masculinizing females.
I mean, it's got to a point where it's so unbelievably blatant that it's not even up for a conversation, is it anymore? Even they've done it to Star Wars, the series on TV. I mean, I just gave up watching them. I used to love that stuff, and some of the new ones, it's so blatant.
Star Wars is a good example because you know, when they brought back Luke Skywalker in Star film, they turned him into a broken clown. Shell of a man, clown, and they had the woman who was the hero.
Rock hard instantly as well. No training, nothing, just instantly achieved everything.
Straight there.
Yeah.
But what the fans actually wanted, what the Star Wars fans really wanted, I don't know if you saw that Mandalorian episode.
I quite liked The Mandalorian. I quite enjoyed that.
Now, that episode when they brought back Luke Skywalker there was, you know, exactly what everybody wanted. They wanted to see Luke Skywalker as a fully fledged Jedi in his prime doing stuff, right? But no, instead we got this this broken old man, you know, who was put to shame by a girlie.
Yeah, and who tried to murder his nephew and all kinds of
they were awful.
It was terrible, wasn't it? The first one weren't too bad, but by the second and third,
all that stuff is so transparent. Unfortunately, I don't watch much programming now. But we were talking about he's a Marvel fan, Chris.
I've been a superhero fan since I was a kid, man. I mean, I've got more comics and books around here. But
I had a set of everything at one point. Yeah.
they've done a job on that, though, haven't they?
They've done a real job on it. But it's almost like they don't care. How can you make a bad new Star Wars film? It should be impossible, shouldn't it? But it's like they don't even care about the money anymore. They're just continually bringing out these woke trash films.
As one of the best reviewers I think I listened to, it's a guy called The Critical Drinker. It's all about the message.
The message. Yeah, he's good, isn't it? I don't know if you've seen him, Dom. He's a guy I'm sure he's not drunk, really. He pretends that he's drinking scotch while he's doing these reviews of films, but he's really good. He's a good reviewer. Yeah. Yeah, I still watch him.
Yeah, but he's right, though. It's all about the message now, and the story doesn't matter. You know, the legacy of the franchise doesn't matter. It's just a vehicle for getting that message across.
But also, they're selling these things like Star Wars and Marvel. They're trying to sell it to girls. And I'm not being sexist or anything, but girls are not as interested as blokes are in Star Wars and Marvel. There is some, I'm not saying there isn't. But it's mainly led by a male audience. But they're trying to push it on people who don't want it. It's bizarre.
Why? But it's happening the same in sport as well. They're doing the same things in... Yeah. I mean, I don't watch sport anymore, but sport, they've got more female... commentators in the men's game, or as many as men. And it's feminizing a masculine sport. There is female football, could commentate in female football. And but I noticed as well, just hang on, Chris, in one of the games, it said, it's for the first time, the Arsenal women's team have sold out the Emirates. And that wasn't true. What actually happened was the Arsenal women's team played before the Arsenal men's team, and they let them in for free.
Right.
It's just fucking bullshit.
They did the same
with cricket with 2020 in Yorkshire. The first women's cricket team to sell out Headingley 2020 cricket, but it were played just before the men's game. So blokes were just there on piss.
But what I find strange is it's not like everyone's hated female protagonists in films.
No.
In the 80s, we had Alien Ripley, we had Sarah Connor in Terminator. Two rock hardest women in any action era to take on anyone.
And it looked real.
But it didn't seem like it were forced, did it? It was just they were the hero in the film. Now it just seems so blatantly forced. And like I said, don't even care.
It's totally artificial, because it's like, as you said before, it's like, these women can do everything anyway, without training, without the pathway to get there.
Character
just suddenly,
art.
I can do it. Yeah, I can do that, and I can do it better than you. You know.
Well, the word
is like it was like that Ray who understood the Millennium Falcon better than Han Solo did.
Yeah, he was. They literally put that in there, didn't they? She could fly it like a God knows what, and she told him how to fix it.
No. Like, yeah, there's a bit. She said, no, this is what's wrong with it. And he was like,
but I mean, in the first Star Wars, and again, I'm not a Star Wars buff like you guys, but Princess Leia was all powerful.
She was tougher than Han Solo. Yeah.
Yeah. She was the one that wrapped all the men around the finger.
Yeah. 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 No, she was. Yeah.
Right. But it wasn't in. In that sort of way that there was a bit of I'm just as strong as you type thing, but that was almost like flirting with Han Solo. That was it.
And he didn't make you think they were doing some kind of agenda with it. It was just that was the character, which was fine.
But I mean, Marvel now, if all the superheroes, I would say they're in some way transhumanized, as in transgender.
Well, that's I think some...
A lot of them are, anyway.
I think there's a lot of women, and I think they're going down that road as well. Yeah.
I remember years ago when... you look at The Simpsons, Homer Simpson's thick as shit, Bart's thick as shit, but the young girl's the bright one. You've got Lisa. Peppa Pig, the dad's thick as shit, and the female pig is the one that's running the show. It is... slowly but surely crept its way in, even from through kids.
You don't watch Star Wars, but you watch Peppa Pig.
I don't watch anything, no, but I did do with my daughter, sadly, when she was younger.
Yeah,
but I remember, but going back, that was 15 years ago.
Yeah, it's true, yeah, they were. Yeah.
The sad thing is that we can see it. We can see the blatant social engineering, but the children can't.
No.
The children just take it in. And when we came back to England, and my son went to school in England for the first time, yeah. He said to me, "Dad, why are the boys acting like girls?"
Did he really?
So, yes. So that was back, you know, 2009, 2010. So even back then, you know, it already started working on them.
I read a story recently that I think it was in Scotland, but also in Melbourne, that parents can be, well, it might have been in America actually, but anyway, one or two, parents can be arrested. Oh, it was America. They're trying to get a bill passed in California that parents can be arrested and jailed if they denounce transgender rights for the children.
Mm. It's a way forward, isn't it?
Here's the thing that everyone has to start to realize is that legislation is not law, right? So, you know, governments are passing all this crazy rubbish, but it's not law, right? You get to choose if you want to comply with it or not. Right,
it's a contract.
It's not law. So, yeah, exactly. So you just say no, I'm not doing
it. Like the mask wearing is a good example throughout the nonsense, and the jib jabs.
Anybody who fought those mask wearing, none of them was stood up in any court in anywhere in the world, Canada, America, Britain, or Australia. None of them.
It just shows that it was all bullshit. Right,
yes.
The whole thing was bullshit, and it was just there to frighten people. So there were a lot of people who said, "No, I'm not going to go out because I might get arrested, you know, for being outside." You know, it was just bullshit. Yeah, they just went through the motions of arresting you and that. But when it came to it, no, it's all right. It's nothing.
Well, a lot of these organizations and individuals are coming out now saying we didn't force anybody to do anything. I don't know if that's through fear or through redemption or whatever it might be.
I think it was
Dave, clever wording, wasn't it? All the way through it. We're giving you the offer, suggestion, offer, man, you know, there were no credence behind it.
Well, I was seeing it way before, right, in the height of COVID, right, that they were actually paving the way for the backtracking. And this is what they'll always do. They'll rewrite history as it's going along so that when you go look back at this, they'll say, no, we did tell you. We did tell you.
It was an offer.
We put all the figures here, right? We didn't. And they're actually coming out now and saying, and this was one guy in America, or Pfizer being questioned in America, saying, we didn't force, you know, we didn't force you to take it. And no, you know, no.
Well, they left it to the companies, didn't they? They left it to the companies, so the companies will be liable, not the government.
Yeah, it was in Australia where somebody in the government just said, no, we didn't force you. And, you know, somebody was saying, like, oh, yes, you did. You said people would get arrested and thrown in jail if you didn't.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? And now
the kids taken off them and all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, and now they're throwing the doctors under the bus. Right, they're saying now that it's the doctor's fault because they should have given informed consent, even though they would have been struck off if they tried to give informed consent at the time. Yeah,
do you think, Dev, your opinion? Do you think that they were aiming for more and they got knocked back a bit?
I think they were obviously aiming for every man, woman, and child on the face of the earth. But they were never going to get that. They knew that, right? And that's why the 15-minute city, the chip, and the biometrics, all that stuff, is to when they force the survivors into these mega cities, so they can be, they can be exterminated in a modern way. Yeah, they want to exterminate the whole of mankind. That's the aim. That is the ultimate great work that's behind all of this. They want to make the race of man extinct.
Yeah, we've become an obsolete model for them.
Well, no, that's today's excuse.
For them, I mean, for them, yeah. I'm not saying we are.
That's today's excuse.
Yes,
but
exactly.
It's always been, it's all the way through what we call history, it's always been, right, aiming towards exterminating mankind. Mm. That's it. And that's the big secret of what's been going on, you know.
It is a difficult one for a lot of people, not necessarily listeners, but to get your head around, because in a way it's quite depressing, but in another way it's quite enlightening because you know the plan.
it's quite encouraging because, you know, if you saw the extent of how they've been trying to kill us, right, they must be sitting, you know, in their dark satanic pits going, why aren't they dead yet? Yeah. We've thrown everything at them, they're still alive.
Maybe they've got Tony Montana there saying, I'll kill these fucking cockroaches.
It's true, yeah. Well, why aren't they just buying everything we're throwing at them?
Yeah.
Well, they definitely worked out that there were about 5% of people that would never give in, from all different walks of life, that would never consent to doing what they want. I'm not saying there is 5%, but I added it together. The 5% of what they told us is the population of the world and the elites, it roughly adds up to the Georgia Guidestones. Roughly.
Right. Well, first of all, if you watch The Matrix, they told us how it works there in that film. Did you clock what the architect was saying? Right, you know, the old man in the chair who was right. He basically said, "We have to let the people who wake up. We have to let them go out. We have to let them, you know, do their stuff out in their area. Otherwise, if they are left inside the Matrix, they'll rip it apart." So we had to let them escape. So that's the truth movement. They had to let us, you know, start, you know, talking and stuff and making our forums and all this stuff. So they could contain us in like an echo chamber of the internet, you know, little subset of the internet where the muggles don't venture into so that, you know, we don't do too much damage to their matrix.
And they can infiltrate it as well, can't they? A little bit.
And they can control it. Well, did you know we're not on the same internet that we were on about, 8 years ago?
Yeah, well, when they put that HTTP nonsense in front of everything.
Yeah. Well, it was originally HTTP.
Yeah.
Which was the actual protocol that the internet ran on. And HTTPS was a security protocol. So you had to pay for HTTPS. Because it was more secure.
Right.
But very quietly, very sneakily, they changed everything onto HTTPS. It was a separate, completely separate internet, right? And they switched everybody over to it without them knowing.
Is that why, and I might be talking crazy here, is that why you don't need internet security anymore? Do you know that used to sell you the virusware stuff? You don't seem to see that as much anymore. Am I being stupid?
You need to drink more wine, Chris.
I haven't drunk any wine. Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah. No, because you said he got switched over to the security one. What I'm saying is they used to really sell you that malware thing, didn't they? The what's his name?
Yeah.
They don't really push it to you anymore. McAfee. So, I mean, McAfee, that's it. They don't push it to you anymore. Is that why? Because you're saying it's the security version.
Yeah, but more important than that is, I don't know if you remember, but when you'd search for something on the internet, right, you'd find mostly peeps pages. So pages made by people like us, you know, in our little area, you know, we might have our own Marvel page or Star Wars page or whatever. You do a search, you'd find mostly people's pages. Now you can't find any people's pages unless you're looking for them specifically. Yeah. Mm. You know, if you, I think it was, TrueStream Media. Yeah. They show that when you do a search on Google and it returns like 20 million results, it's only actually 400 results, and those 400 are the mainstream, you know,
majority Amazon. Yeah, Amazon. Exactly. If you notice, if you put anything into Google, Amazon's at the top, even if they don't sell it, it says Amazon. You could put in bloody, I don't know, anything, a bloody Neuralink, and it'll put Neuralinks at Amazon. And then you go onto it and it's not there, it's just showing you Amazon page. But sometimes it's the whole first page is Amazon as well, if you're looking to buy something.
So we had a free internet at one point where you could find virtually everything you wanted. But now we're on the corporate internet where essentially it's the mainstream and the corporations and that's it.
I did a breakdown on Berners-Lee's background, and his mum and dad worked on Secret Radar, and they might have been at Bletchley Park as well. So I think that obviously there's more to this, and he worked at CERN, did Berners-Lee. That's where he first devised the tinter web, as we call it in Yorkshire.
No one else does it.
We do. We all call it like that in Yorkshire. We put flat caps on, and we've got those whippets and pigeons. We're going tinter web.
I've never seen a bloody whippet. Everyone always says that down here. Oh, whippets! You
know. Yeah, we're down south, so we don't know that.
I
thought it was a type of tree.
I grew up in Yorkshire, but I'm in Cambridge, and everyone says that. Oh, we saw whippets. I don't know anyone who owns a whippet ever. I've never known anyone.
There, a guy from London came up, and took him for some fish and chips. And he was saying to, when we went back down, he was saying to his mate, oh, they have these great things on the fish and chips up north. They're called whibbits. And we say fish and chips whibbits. You call them scraps, right?
It's quite disgusting when you think, I don't think they even do that anymore.
No.
Just quickly, when Dom mentioned CERN, what's your opinion of CERN, Dev? Because you've got the most expensive scientific experiment. But I've gone on the website quite a few times, and no one can explain what it's doing. I know they say, they're speeding up this and they're doing that. But all the countries are involved, a bit like Antarctica. They've all put money in, but no one can actually explain
but
to
Chris,
a layman.
Brian Cox worked there.
Well, have you seen the film Contact with Jodie Foster?
Yes. Right, so, yes. Yeah.
Right. So, I see where you're going, essentially, aliens, right, get in contact and beam down plans to build the most expensive machine in human history.
Right? Big circle as
not,
well.
Not for our benefit, but for them. So the same thing has happened, right? The information on how to build the most expensive machine in history has been given to, you know, the people behind CERN. And, if you've seen the Gotthard Tunnel opening, which is just around that area, right?
Yeah.
Totally satanic, right?
Mm, yeah.
You see the 666 in CERN, in the CERN logo. Mm. The destroyer coming out of a portal outside the front of CERN. Yeah.
nothing to be concerned about. Yeah.
And even the destroyer stood in a circle.
Yes, like a CERN that's circle the portal.
Yeah.
A portal.
Stargate as well. It reminds me of Stargate, remember that?
So the location of CERN is the key thing, because it's basically right in the middle of that ring is a temple of Apollyon, right? So in ancient times. And it dawned on me while I was making that little video, right, is that the city of Lyon in France is near there. And I always thought Leon meant lion, right? But it's Apollyon.
Apollyon.
So
Apollo.
Yeah. And Apollo is the same as, I mean, all these ancient gods are the same characters. Doesn't matter region you're from.
Greek.
It's the same characters, just different names. Yeah.
Yeah.
So in the New Testament, it says that, the pit will be opened, and the destroyer Apollyon will come out of it, and so that's what CERN is doing. They're trying to open a portal, and they'll say it themselves. They're trying to open a portal to another reality, and that reality.
It's strange because the guy that invented D-Wave, Geordie, oh, I forget his name, surname now.
Rose.
Yeah, Jodie Rose. He said there was summoning up demons. Well, yeah. He said aliens, but and demons as well. And
that's another
With D-Wave, that's what he said.
Watch him talk about D-Wave, and he just talked mumbo jumbo. He didn't got the most expensive computer ever. He didn't give you an explanation as to what they're doing, does he? At all, really.
Well, here's the thing. They don't even know what it is and what it does, right? Mm-hmm. They'll let you know in films. They'll let you know about all these things in films. Mm-hmm. So there was a Mirror episode called Joan is Awful, right? And at the end, they find it's all run by a computer, and it's a quantum computer, yeah? And they say, I don't know what it is. It's magic. It's like magic. Right? And then there was an episode of a series called His Darker Materials, which is a very, very satanic show anyway. But
I haven't watched that. Yeah, that's what you mean.
Yeah, so it's very satanic. Got lots. It's got demons walking around with people, yeah? But there's a sequence in it where this woman is, she's playing around with this quantum computer, right? And you can see it in the background is, you know, the inside of the quantum computer, and she starts trying to talk to it and it starts talking back, and it's basically inside this quantum computer is an entity talking to her, and it says, I'm an angel, right. I'm an angel, and we've been sort of interfering in human history. Right, and she says, "Why have you been doing that?" And this angel says, "Vengeance."
God.
So
angels, basically.
Yes, that's the story. That's the story that's going on. Yeah, these angels hate humans, and they're using their agents, you know, in humanity, right, to do their will.
Hence why this paradigm's like playing a game of Grand Theft Auto every day.
And one thing I did notice, that D-Wave, when I was watching stuff on that D-Wave computer years ago, is they have to keep it at like minus some freezing temperature.
Mind you, the jabs. Jabs had to be kept like that.
Yeah, yeah. And inside it, when you looked inside it, it was like a bloody, looked like steampunk. It didn't look like technology. It was like brass art. You know, it looked like someone had made it in the 1800s. Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't look like a computer, does it?
No, it looked.
So...
And guess what? Jodie Rose sold the AI. Let me get this right. The AI, he made another technology, and he sold it to Ocado. So Ocado bought the technology to run their food distribution. It's good news, isn't it? It's all good news. Now we've got satanic food distribution.
So what Jodie Rose was saying, right? If you listen to him carefully. What he was saying about the software, because he does two talks, one about the hardware, one about the D-Wave computer, and then he talks about the software, the AI software, right, which is the bit you were talking about, Chris.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, right?
And if you listen to that, you know, that conversation, right, he basically is saying that these computers are essentially an antenna to receive a consciousness. Right, and that consciousness will then be connected into the internet so that it'll have oversight over everything, because they want to make everything part of the Internet of Things, including humans,
including
so,
us.
So literally the angel, right, the fallen angel that will be the consciousness that's being received by this thing will literally be controlling the internet and everything on it, which is everything, well, if they get their way, everything in the world. So they'll be able to mimic the Most High having oversight over everything.
Mm. Yeah. And as we're walking receivers and antennas, we're prime targets, aren't we?
Well, yes, that's the thing. We you're not in your head. You don't exist there, right? Your body is receiving you. You know, you are a signal that's being
hologram,
sort of almost broadcast into this world. Yeah. And so that means they can, and I think that's what they've been working on, they can upload your consciousness into some technology, to a computer. Yes. So that, and this is what the New Testament says, the New Testament being a roadmap, so they know what to do, yeah, it says that you will want to die but won't be able to. So imagine if your consciousness is uploaded to a computer and it's that's horrible in there, and you want to die, but you can't. There's no way for you to actually die.
I came to the same conclusion on one of our podcasts, Dave. That's what, exactly what I said. Because
soul grab.
Is that a version of hell as well? You know, that you're stuck in this quantum world and you can't, like I say, you can't die because you're already dead, your body's dead, and your consciousness is trapped in the Tron. Yeah. It's just trapped in there.
Yeah. Well, again, it's an artificial version. Yeah. I think there's always a natural version of something, and they go ahead and mimic it. So my view is heaven and hell, not in the Christian conceptions, but heaven and hell are both here and now. Okay.
Yeah.
So the Old Testament says that when a Nephilim, when half angel, or the wicked, which I think are the same people, to be honest, when they die, their spirits can't go anywhere. They have to stay here as disembodied spirits, you know, wandering around in spectator mode, right? Mm. So they could be... So essentially, NPCs. They're having...
Yeah.
Yeah, well, no, they're not NPCs. They're literally...
Not even NPCs.
They're like ghosts. Yeah. They're like ghosts. Right, they're, okay. They're consciousness that are here, but they can't interact with anything, right? Mm. So they can see life, but they can't be a part of it. Now, let me back up a second. What I believe this world to be is a bubble of 3D space and time. Yeah. 3D space and time only happens in here, in this bubble, right? Outside of here, which isn't outside because that's more space and time, but let's call it a different dimension, right? Outside of here, right, there is no time. So when the moment you came into this place is the same moment you leave, because out there, there's no time. So you just
blink of an eye or whatever.
In and out, right? But you've lived 100 years or whatever down here, right? So the next concept is the moment you leave is the same moment everyone else leaves. So it doesn't matter when you arrive here, right? We all leave at the same moment because there's no time outside of here, right? The exception is... those who are wicked or the Nephilim, when they die, they have to literally stay here and step through time till the end of time when they'll meet us at judgment. So we instantly go to judgment. When we die, we instantly go to judgment and, you know, you're tested, as it were. But the wicked have to literally plod through time, right, for... 1,000 years, 10,000 years, whatever, which is hell.
Do they attach themselves? Do you think they attach themselves to individuals?
Yes, I think the original ones, right? The early ones can very easily attach to people. They've been there. They've been around for a long time. They can jump into people, especially if you compromise yourself. If you drink
drugs or something
heavily,
drugs.
If you shame yourself, right? There are ways to essentially let them in. You can invite them in. If you invite them in, they'll jump in. Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, we did an interview with a chap. I don't know if you've come across him, called Jerry Mazinski.
Yeah.
He was a psychotherapist in institutions in America, and he actually started treating people by talking to the voices of these schizophrenics, and he were getting feedback from the actual voices rather than the schizophrenic, basically saying, why are you interfering with our lives? We've done nothing to you.
And he said, like Dave said,
exactly, that's what resonated, what Dave was saying.
I was thinking the same thing. A lot of them were crack addict. Was it crack? Crystal meth, was it?
Crystal meth and
cocaine.
Speed and stuff like that. Yeah.
Speed and cocaine were big ones. And it was interesting because when we were talking to him, I watched something totally different. It was about auras. And he was saying, you know, if you're an addict, something, you get cracks in your auras. It kind of made sense that maybe that was...
Well, your aura would be your protection, shield. Wouldn't it? Your shield, yeah.
If there's a crack in it, then these entities can get in and... I suppose then they can lead humanity or human beings in a certain direction, can't they?
When you always mention Aura, I always think of Ready Breck. I always think of the Ready Breck advert.
Well, again, if you think about it, you know, the somebody invented cocaine. Yeah, cocaine was, yeah, was, you know, was a
leaf,
a poppy or, yeah, something, a leaf or a whatever. Right? Somebody invented it, and I, yeah, I would suggest that somebody helped them invent it. Yeah,
and push
just
it,
like,
yeah,
just like the machine, the most expensive machine. They gave instructions for you to build it. Well, I think, you know, they're helping people with things like cocaine so that more people will open themselves up.
It opens a portal. Control. Hence why a lot of people, he were also saying a lot of the antidepressive drugs, the people who were given antidepressants open a portal in the wherever, cracking their aura or whatever it is to allow these attachments in.
Yeah,
and now they're getting kids on antidepressants, 12-year-old, aren't they? And all, yeah, kinds of ADHD, all kinds of weird drugs and stuff.
Well, they're, yeah, trying to initiate people into their cults, as you know, as quick as possible now. I had an experience one time. I went, I was helping somebody in North London, and so I was like sleeping on their couch, and I slept with my back to the room. And I got one this one night, I got this sleep paralysis. Right, but it felt like this octopus type thing with loads of arms with like gripping me from behind. It was like gripping me and holding me tight. And you know, I literally said to it, I said, "I am David, son of Cleophas, son of Josephine. I am a Hebrew Israelite, son of the Most High. I command you to be gone." And this thing went whoop and jumped off me.
Which funny you should mention
I rolled
that
over. Because
yeah, go on, sorry, go on.
I rolled over and looked at the room, and there was a section of the room that looked darker than everywhere else. And I just knew this thing, whatever it was hiding in that dark bit, waiting for me to go to sleep again, right? So I literally looked at it and said the same thing over again, and I could feel it gone because I just rolled over and went to sleep.
It's funny, you know, Dev, I've got these books here, and they're quite poppy. But this guy started an Instagram, and they're called Tales from the Grid Square. And he's basically got all these accounts of military guys, because he said everyone in the military has got some kind of paranormal experience, but they don't talk about it because they're scared to get ousted or whatever. And that one you just described there, because what's interesting about it, even though they're written by military guys, and a lot of them, you know, it's like a small paragraph or two talking about their experience when they saw something. And a lot of them aren't the best written, as you can imagine, like the American military. So some of them are like, a lot of it revolves around going to the toilet or something. You know, like, I was just going for a dump. And so it's a bit like that. But one of the patterns you see in it, you see these repetitive things happening. And that's one of them where they feel like they're being watched or something moves or a paralysis. They look into a corner room and it's like darker than black, almost like a pit. And they can just see this shadow. Sometimes it's a shadow of a person, but they just see this darkness like in a corner.
Well, Chris, if you remember,
if you think where these guys are, some of these bases there are,
like on ops and
civil
stuff
war
like that,
and in Iraq, and where the horrible stuff have happened.
If you remember two things, Dave. One, when Jerry talks, it was a psalm that got rid of them.
The
Valley of Death psalm, and also that he was, what was those entities, the shadow people, he called them, didn't they?
Yeah,
that shadow. These people, when they were hearing voices, they could see, they saw these people with red eyes and green eyes, I think it was.
Green and orange, wasn't it? Or orange.
And some of them were instructing these people to go buy drugs, tell them where there's this drugs sale, and they ended up being drug dealers to feed the crystal meth habit. And it was a fantastic story, amazing stories, man.
Yeah.
Again, there's more to this world than we imagine. And you know, the information's always been here. But we're indoctrinated into this world of science, which is another religion, that says, don't look over there. All that's paranormal. That's just people making stuff up, right? Mm. But no, this stuff is absolutely real. And, you know, this world is what's not real.
Yes.
that's the unreal part.
Yeah, and they run it on this occult, dark occult information, don't they? They don't run it on this scientific information. We will see you next time. Thanks for tuning in. Bye.
Thank you. Have a good evening. Bye.
Bye.